Thank you, Pastor Miller. It is a joy to be here on the 45th anniversary of your church. I mentioned earlier in the week that I started Fairhaven Baptist Church 46 years ago. So I know a little bit about what it was like. I had been pastor there for 43 years. I know there's a lot of battles. I know there's a lot of joys. There's ups, there's downs. But if you're faithful, God will always bless. And my prayer for you is that you stay faithful for another 45 years. Now, there probably won't be many of us around 45 years from now, but some of you will. I hope that you'll keep this church strong and straight. It's just a real honor and a privilege to have been asked to preach at this very, very special time in your church's history. And if you have your Bibles, if you don't, I'll just quote out of God's Word. But if you have your Bibles, please turn in them to Revelation chapter 20. I have entitled my message this morning, Possess Ye Your Souls. Now, the passage that we're going to read this morning tells us why God sent His Son to come to this earth and die on the cross. Tells us what the result will be if we reject Him. It shows Revelation is the future. It tells us about the future, what's going to happen. And this passage here tells us what's going to happen, what everybody's going to face who rejects Christ as their Savior. Salvation is free. It's easy to be saved. All you have to do is know you're a sinner, turn from your sin, turn to Christ, be sincere. Christ died for your sins. It's easy for us. It wasn't easy for Him. He died on a cross for our sins. It's easy. But if you reject it, boy, it's hard. It's hard. And this passage, our text, gives us a little insight of what a person's going to face after they die if they rejected Christ. Revelation 20, starting in verse 11, "And I saw a great white throne and Him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them." There is no place to hide. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works." We're judged according to our life. "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death." I've heard people say, "Well, I believe in God, I believe in heaven, but I don't believe in hell." That's foolishness. If you believe in God, this is God's word. Every word of it, He's given to us. And in reality, He talks about hell a lot more than heaven. Heaven's a wonderful place. I'm looking forward to going there. But I accepted Christ as my Savior when a preacher got up and he warned us of hell. I didn't want to go to hell. And I'm glad I'm not going to hell. I'm glad I'm going to heaven. "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." If you read the Bible, it'll teach you that you're either saved and on your way to heaven, or you're lost and on your way to hell. Again, it's easy to be saved. It's hard to provide salvation. It's hard for Christ that it came come to this earth and die on the cross for our sins. But again, all we have to do is understand we are a sinner. We turn from that sin, turn to Christ, and we can go to heaven instead of hell. And people say, "Well, I don't think God would send a person to hell." Listen, He sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins. And all we have to do is say, "Yes, I accept that death for my salvation." Just turn from our sins, turn to Him, and we go to heaven. And we have the audacity to say, I don't think God would send somebody to hell after he sent his son to die on this earth, be hated, and we reject him, and we don't think he'll send us to hell. Bible says otherwise. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He loved every person here so much, he gave his son to die on the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that's everybody, whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Again, it's so free, it's so easy. But if you reject it, you will go to hell. You will go to hell. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for every person that's here today. We thank you for your word and how clear it is, how plain it is. People today say, I don't understand it. It's because they haven't read it. We thank you for your clear plan of salvation, how easy it is to understand how to get to heaven. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would work in our midst today and convict people of their sin if they've never accepted you as their Savior. And Lord, I pray that souls would be saved because they came this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. It's been quite a few years ago now. I was traveling down Highway 94 in Indiana. I lived in Indiana most of my life. And it was a beautiful day. It was one of those days where you're just glad to be alive. The sky was blue, kind of like today. Sun was shining. But all of a sudden, there's a waving of a man's hand. We had to stop. And I came on a very gruesome sight. A truck, it's the busiest corridor for trucks in the nation. And a truck had gotten in an accident on the other side, the other direction, crashed through the guardrail and hit a car coming right at him. The man in the car was killed. He was laying next to the car there with a coat kind of half over him. And I couldn't help but wonder if that dead man was saved. He had probably been also enjoying the beautiful day, just glad to be alive, not thinking about death when it crashed right into him. The thought and the sights of this instant death disturbed me. The body laying there just got to me a little bit. And I asked myself, why? It's a natural phenomenon. We know this. Everybody that is born has died. As a Christian, I asked myself what was so big and terrible about death, and I ask myself with Job the question that's been argued about down through the centuries. If a man die, shall he live again? If a man die, will he live again? Is this a bloody mess here the end of this man? Now think with me about another dead body come back about 2,000 years ago and picture Jesus Christ hanging limp from those rusty nails on the cross. But he died, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. He died that we might live. He died on the cross, carried our sins, that our sins might be paid for, and that we might live. Hear him cry through the ages, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never, never die. He was dead, but thank God he rose again. I can take it today over to Israel and show you the empty tomb. The stone was rolled away. Christ the Lord is risen. And it's a guarantee that those of us that believe in him shall not die, but will live eternally. In Luke 23, we find these four words written: possess ye your souls. That's where I got the title of this message. Possess ye your souls. God put the value of a soul far above the body. That's the main point I want to get across today. When did you last seriously think about your soul? We are not this body. Okay, I think you know this. There's something down in you that's you. That soul down deep inside of every one of us searches after God. That's what the psalmist was talking about when he wrote, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Every soul searches after God. You pull a fish out of water, and he'll beat himself all over the shore trying to get back in the water. You take a bird and clip his wings and watch him flap those stubs trying to get back in the air. Go down to the zoo and watch the tiger walking back and forth, dreaming about his jungle home. All these things are pictures of the soul in search of God. The soul's natural habitat is in God. The soul's natural environment is in the God who made him. Now, I'm sure there's some here that have forgotten that they possess a soul. They don't understand that restlessness, wondering, laying awake at night sometime, wondering, is this all it's about? They've forgotten that God made man different from all else. Now, today, people are trying to make us just, we're just a higher animal. No, God made us different from all of his other creatures. And the Bible says, God made man of the dust of the earth, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Now, listen to this. And man became a living soul. We are a soul. Right here is where we differ from all else. Man is eternal. Animals are not. Man is made for the eons of eternity. So many spend all of our time on this body, this cardboard box that houses the gem. And we haven't given any real attention to the soul. The soul's a valuable thing. The body just houses that soul. And let me tell you, that old tenement gets old. I used to run track, the 440. Can't do it very well anymore, okay? The old tenement gets old and it starts crumbling and decaying. And it's headed for the grave. And the body will be turned back into the elements. Just the dust. But when it does, the soul will wing its way to eternity. I'm asking you today, won't you seriously consider your soul? Won't you listen to the words of Christ when he says, what shall it profit a man? Now get these words. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? What he's saying is you could gain all the wealth and all everything in the world, and it wouldn't be worth losing your soul, because your soul is eternal. Jesus knew the value of an eternal soul. He didn't come to this earth to make money. Jesus could have made money. Someone who could take stones and turn it into bread and water into wine didn't have to die poor. He didn't have to be placed into a borrowed tomb. Could have power. Remember when the Roman soldiers came, he just looked at them and they fell on their backs. He could have had power. But no, he didn't worry about money, thrones, power. Watch him as he reaches down in the quagmire of society and rescues a soul to be fit for heaven. Watch Jesus as he enters into Jericho, for instance, and he passes underneath that sycamore tree and looks up and says, "Zacchaeus, come down." He was the object of hate and ridicule and laughter, but he saw a soul. "Zacchaeus, come down. I want to see you saved." See him as he's on the tree dying, and he pauses a while to just stop and turn to the one next to him, the thief, and say, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." That's what he was dying for, that souls might be saved. Jesus knows the value of a soul. Bible says, though he was rich, he was in heaven, in the throne room of heaven, yet for our sakes he became poor, came down to this earth, that we, through his poverty, might become rich, that we might come to heaven. Don't neglect that soul. It's the only thing that'll live forever. Again, the title, "Possess Ye Your Soul." I heard a story, it's told as being true, of a wealthy man, very wealthy man. And he liquidated everything he had as he got to be older, and he bought the world's largest, most valuable pearl, huge pearl. And he wanted to move to Italy, buy a villa, and just live in finery the rest of his life. And the pearl was worth $4 million, and at that time, it would enable him to just live in finery with servants until he died. He saved just enough to get a steamship ticket to go over, and he put the pearl in a small rosewood box wrapped in velvet. One day he was on that steamship sunning himself, and a guy came by with some oranges, and he said, I'll take three of those oranges." He had been a juggler when he was younger, and he thought he'd show this kid his skills, and so he took one, threw it up, two, three. He asked for another one, four, five, six, and he's juggling six oranges, and he's having a good time showing off. All of a sudden, he looked, and there was a crowd around him, and he said, "Wow," he said, "you think this is something?" He said, "If you want to be entertained, you just wait here, and I'll give you the thrill of your life." He said, "Wait," and he ran down to his room, got that rosewood box with the pearl in it, came up, set it on the deck, and he opened it and unwrapped out of that velvet, and he said, "Ladies and gentlemen," he said, "this represents the toil of a lifetime." He said, "I'm a rich man, and I've worked a life and for a lifetime, and I bought this world's most valuable pearl." He said, "You want to be entertained?" And they were in the back of the ship, okay, right at the back. And he threw that pearl up in the air, and he caught it over the water. Boy, they clapped. Whoa. And he liked the attention. He said, "I think I'll do it again." He threw it up over the water, up higher yet. Right at the split second, he caught it. Man, they just went nuts. The crowd went insane. He loved the attention. He said, "I'm going to do it one more time." An old lady came to him and said, "Sir, don't do it." She took one of the oranges and said, "Show us your skills with this. This is all your wealth. This is your future." And he laughed at her. He said, "Watch this." And he flung it up higher than ever. He said, My hand is as steady as a needle on a compass. My eye is as good as an eagle's." He's just bragging. He flung it up. And then he stood there confidently, waiting to catch it. And right at the split second where it was supposed to get to his hand, the ship got caught in a cross tie, and they watched that giant pearl slip past his fingers, looked over the edge and saw the bubbles coming up. Now you might say, why are you Bible believers so excited? Why are you witnessing to people? Why do you knock on doors? Why do you preach the way you do? I'll tell you why. Because we see people treat their life like that guy treated that pearl. And your life, your soul, is worth so much more than that pearl. There was an evangelist on a train in Illinois. He decided to travel from Chicago to Bloomington, where he was preaching that morning. And when he went into the car, it was pretty full. He had a newspaper he was going to read before he meditated on his sermon. And there was only one seat left, and it was one of those seats where you faced one another. And as he climbed in, he said good morning to the fellow across from him, and the guy didn't even grunt. He just seemed to be a sour type of person. So the preacher opened his paper, started reading it, finished, put the paper down. And when he put the paper down, the fellow that was sitting across from him came and sat next to him and said, "You ask me how I was doing." He said, "Do you really want to know?" And the evangelist said, "Yes, I'd like to know." He said, "I don't know why I'm telling you this, but I'm going to commit suicide." And he said, "I've got a business." He said, I'm in the millinery business. But I allowed a bellhop to get me in trouble in Chicago. He said, "I've been a faithful husband and a good father all these years. Been an honest person. And I let this guy foul up my life, and I can't face my wife." He said, "I'm going to kill myself. I can't face her." And the evangelist said, "You can't do that." The guy said, "I'm going to end it all." The evangelist says, "You can't do that." He said, "Oh, yes, I can." He said, "I've got a gun and it's loaded. I don't know why I'm telling you this, but you'll read about it in the papers." Evangelist again said, "You can't do that." He said, "Why can't I?" The evangelist said, "Because one time you were not, and now you are, and you always will be. You can't cease to be." He said, "A million years from now, you go kill yourself. A million years from now, you'll be bobbing in the lava and fire of hell." The man looked pale and said, what do you mean?" The evangelist was able to take his Bible and teach him out of the Bible about eternity, living forever in either heaven or hell, and how to be saved, and the man accepted Christ. But the point I want to make is you can't end it all. You can take a gun, blow your brains against the wall. Your loved ones can gather around the casket. They can cry. They can burn candles. But your soul will survive. You cannot say quit. You cannot make yourself, your soul, stop being. It will live forever. Picture with me. Here you are on your deathbed. You've had your ups and your downs, your good times, joys and sorrows, but you've rejected Christ all the time. You've always avoided Christians, or you could change the subject. But now death has come, And this is a good way to die. You know, you old person laying on your deathbed. The shadows come in the front door and you can't run out the back door this time. There's a sweat on your brow. That awful stare. Most of us have seen this in people's eyes. Come into your eye. The fluid's building up in your lungs and that rattle is there. The angel of death is at your side. You can't see anymore. You can't hear anymore. You can't speak anymore. You try to lift your hand to wipe the cold sweat off your brow, but it just remains motionless. The doctor takes your pulse and looks at his watch and shakes his head. And as you lay there, you try and think about what you've heard about heaven and hell. And you will, if you have time, if you have the privilege of dying this way, believe me, that's what you'll be thinking about. Just like you do some nights when you lay there in bed, God speaks to you. And you think if you had a will, if you had the energy, you'd get saved. But everything's clouded. There's confusion. You hear ringing in your ears. It's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. And you do die. You go out into eternity. The great white throne judgment's what it's called. That's what we read at the beginning of the message. You look at your company. That gang banger. That harlot, the drug dealer. And you say, don't put me in this group. I never did those things. I was a decent person. I was a good neighbor. I was a good person. I was a hard worker. Don't put me with these people. But you're told in heaven there's only two groups. You've either accepted Christ or you haven't. You're either saved or lost. And your name is called, and you run from their company. You say, I don't want to be with these people. And you get your robes of self-respect, what made you look good here on this earth. Decency, maybe church membership, whatever it might be. And you wrap yourself up, but you see they're disintegrating. In heaven, these things that people think make you good mean nothing. You're seen for what you are. You're exposed to the holy glance, gaze of a living God. He sees you. He sees you new now for what you are. But you will be seen by everybody for what you are. Every thought, every act, all's revealed to all at the judgment. And you say, God, I'm not saved. I admit that I'm not saved, but I was planning to get saved. I was going to get saved. I didn't expect to die, but man, I was going up that hill and the blinding lights of a car came over on my side and there was a terrible crash and that's all I remember. I thought I'd have a chance, God. I didn't have a chance. And God opens the book. The Bible. That's what we'll be judged by. And he reads out of God's word this book. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day might bring forth. God says, is that my word? Was it in the Bible? Yes. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Is that in the Bible? He reads, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. And he says, remember that pamphlet, that tract that somebody gave you? What did you do about that? Remember that church service in September, Foothills Baptist? What did you do? And God uses the sword of the Scriptures to whittle that platform out from under your feet. But you scramble to another. You say, God, just a minute. I thought I had to make myself better. I didn't think I could come just as I was. I had this habit or that. I knew I had to reform myself. And God takes the book again, the Bible. People have so many false ideas about God today. They don't go by the Bible. And he reads, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You've got to be a sinner to be saved. You've got to understand I am a sinner to be saved. And he reads, for the Son of Man hath come to seek and to save that which was lost. Is that not my word? For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Is that not my word? And you'd have to say yes. But God, I thought I had to have a feeling. I vowed if I only had that feeling, I'd get saved. But I never had that feeling. And God opens the Bible again and reads, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And says, do you understand that? And you'll have to say yes. And the wages of sin is death and hell. Do you understand that? Yes, it's easy to understand, isn't it? Then you'll wonder, why didn't I accept Christ? Why didn't I do it? It's so easy. God will say, do you understand? You're a sinner and you deserve death and hell. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is so easy. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Do you understand that? It's all here. And you'll be judged by it. You just have to understand, yes, I'm a sinner. Jesus died for my sins. All you have to do is say, I repent of the sin. You can't make yourself be good. I turn from my sin. I turn to you. I want to be saved. It's so clear. The Bible says, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You know what it means to receive? Christmas or birthday, somebody gives you a gift and says, here, all you have to do is take it. And that's what God says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He is saying, here. Here. And all you have to do is reach out and take it. At that time, you won't know what to do. God, look at my heart. I throw myself upon your mercy. But God looks at you, and this is a fact. This is everything I'm talking about is taught in God's word. Then I was your Savior. Now I'm your judge. You understand? God loved you so much, he sent his Son to die. He was your Savior. He is your Savior today. But when you face him at that great white throne, he's your judge. It's over. Everything's changed. Angel, take up your pen and write guilty. Lost. The mallet comes down, lost. And the demons of hell come and drag you away. And all you can hear is, lost. I'm lost. There's nothing you can do then. But let me say, there's certainly something you can do now. You say, why do you preach the way you preach? Because I believe it with all my heart. I believe it. Now, All you have to do is reach out and receive salvation. Then it's too late. Possess your soul. If you will, please bow your heads. Close your eyes. Allow God to speak to you. Been a lot of prayer put into this service. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, believe me, you've been prayed for. That's why I preached the message. There was a message like this that was preached when I came down the aisle, and accepted Christ as my Savior. I've just got a couple questions with your heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. How many here can say, and you can't say it with pride, you can say it in a very humble way, yes, there was a time in my life when I received Christ as my Savior, and I'm trusting that I'll go to heaven when I die. How many be able to put your hand up as a testimony? I'm trusting Christ as my Savior. Thank you. I wasn't trying to get anybody, make anybody embarrassed, but I'd like to pray for you if you couldn't lift your hand up. I thank you for your honesty. I'd like to pray for you. Boy, I'd like to see you go to heaven. I'd like you to make the decision I made many years ago in a service like this, after a sermon like this. How many here would say, Brother Voglin, when you pray, would you please pray for me? I don't know that I'm on my way to heaven, and I'd like to know it. Will you pray for me? I'd like to know that I'm saved also. Would you put your hand up? We're not talking church membership. We're not talking anything like that. We're just asking you, are you concerned about your soul? Would you allow me to pray for you? Anybody? Pray for me. Yes, sir. Thank you. Yes, sir. Thank you. Anybody else? Pray for me. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for how clear it is. We're living in a day when people have shoved you aside. This used to be a Christian country. It used to be a time almost everybody in this country believed what I preached. But now we're just having fun. And we're destroying our lives here on this earth and going to end up in hell. Lord, I thank you for these men that raised their hands saying, I'd like to know I'm on my way to heaven. Help them to understand they can know. They can know. I pray that they will know today. Holy Spirit, please do a good work. In your name we pray. Amen.